Two rather incredible young Australians are being recognised tonight by the Australian Geographic Society. Joshua Gilbert will be awarded Young Conservationist of the Year, and Jade Hameister, who climbed to the Everest base camp at 12 and skied to the North Pole at 14, will be named Young Adventurer of the Year. And they're with us now. G'day, guys.
Hey, hello. How are you going?
Now, you'll be in good company tonight, the renowned naturalist David Suzuki will be there. He's also receiving an award. How long have you known that you're going to be getting these things?
I've known for about 2 weeks. Yeah, pretty, I don't know, soon, but very exciting, yeah.
Yeah. It'll be quite an event. And what about you, Joshua?
Unfortunately, mine's dragged out. I've known about this for about 2 months, so
really?
It's been a very long process.
Okay. Now, let's hear about your work, Joshua. You're 25 years old. You grew up with a cattle farming family, but what you've taken on is a real approach to changing people's ideas about the way we do agriculture in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most of my work is done in three areas, so the environment, agriculture, and in Indigenous affairs, and trying to bring all those three together to create purposeful change in all three areas, and hopefully all together. You know, it's really rewarding, and I get to meet some incredible people during the process of that and really start driving some of that change. It's fantastic.
Tell us about your family. They are farmers, but they're Worimi people.
Yeah, so my family have farmed the same land as what my parents farm, and my sister and I farm today for 40,000 years. It's a really good personal connection back, and I'll, you know, really love getting up there and feeling the spirit and sharing our Indigenous knowledge. And that's continuing on today, which is great, and hopefully for 40,000 years into the future as well.
Yeah, big plans. So what about, where is the land?
So our land kind of goes from Foster on the mid-north coast out to Gloucester and down into Newcastle, so quite a big patch.
Part of New South Wales, yeah, yes. Right. But you actually live in Canberra at the moment, just the seat of power.
Yes.
Why have you gone there?
Yeah, so I work for PwC's Indigenous Consulting. We're Australia's largest Indigenous-owned, operated and managed consulting company, and such a great team. Getting down into Canberra, the heart of government, and, you know, I've got political aspirations as well, so getting to see Parliament House every morning when I wake up and working with such a great team to try and drive policy outcomes is really important for me. So that's the atmosphere to be doing it.
Mm. And what's a normal sort of day? What do you go out and do? How do you go about this work?
Yeah, so I really don't have a normal day, yeah. And that's what I absolutely love. Yeah. Get to travel all over Australia, which has been fantastic. So I've just spent some time up in the Territory, down in Tasmania, up on the upper mid-north coast of New South Wales, and heaps of time in Melbourne recently. So working on a whole heap of a good range of projects from changing child protection systems in Queensland and in Victoria. We're doing some great work just in the general consulting work as well. So helping 3 million small businesses with their cash flow, mm-hmm. And reviewing the trademark system in Australia. I mean, we do some really great stuff. So
Wow. Now, Jade, how does someone come to be 12 years old and at the Everest base camp?
Yes. Well, I was born into a pretty adventurous family. Like, we do adventures as a family. When I was 6, we went to Kosciuszko as a family, and my brother was 4. And then obviously base camp was a trip as a family. But polar adventures has kind of been what I've been pushing. So It's kind of different. But my dad is alongside me.
Yeah, right. So very much sort of just average weekend out with the family. So then you went on to North Pole and you skied there. How do you get to the North Pole?
So it was a long flight, obviously, from Melbourne up to Norway. And then from Norway, we got a flight out onto the ice at this camp that the Russians set up called Baneo. And that's the ice runway. And then you get flown out there in a helicopter to your starting point.
Wow.
So our starting point was 150 kilometres from the pole. And then that's where we started skiing.
And how many people were on the trip?
On the trip with me was my dad, our guide, Eric Phillips, and our cameraman for Nat Geo, Petter Nyquist.
Wow, just the 4 of you.
Yeah.
And is it all mechanised now? You don't take dogs to
no,
do it?
No, we were on our cross-country skis pulling a sled behind us with all of our belongings and gear and food.
Mm. What sort of food do you take? Because you have to be pretty light. You wouldn't want to be.
Lots of dehydrated food, and lunch is kind of high calorie, like we had salami and cheese, which would freeze, biscuits, muesli bars, chocolate.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess perishing isn't much of an issue when you're out on the ice, the perishing food. So how do you know, actually, when you get to the North Pole? Is there a sign, Santa's house this way or something? I don't know. What is actually, how do you know?
There's nothing at the North Pole because the sea ice is constantly moving. So you have to use a GPS. And when it is 90 degrees north, then that's the North Pole.
Right. So yeah. It's just on ice. There's no actual sort of land.
No, so it could be anywhere. It could be like in the middle of a compression zone or open water lead. It could be anywhere.
Mm. And what do you think that you get from doing this? How do you think it's shaping you? And you're 15 now, ancient. But how do you think it's like sort of forming your view of the world? What's different about what you know now?
For me, I think like the biggest thing that I learned on the expedition was climate change and how real climate change was. When the Russians try to build the runway for us to land on, they try and find ice, like the thickest piece of ice they can find. The thickest piece of ice they could find last year was 1.8 meters and this year it was 1.3. So when you like experience those things, you just know that it's real and it's happening. And it kind of, it makes you want to do something about it.
Mm. Yeah. And can you see a way that you can do that? How are you going to go about it?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty young now and I'm still trying to learn more about global warming so that I can play my role in the future and figure out what role I do have to play. But I kind of feel as though I have a responsibility now because I might be the only person in my generation to have been to these places and have this firsthand experience.
Right. So when you're 15 now, in 80 years when you're 95, you may be one of the last people who've seen it the way it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Gee, that's a really sort of disheartening thought, isn't
it?
Yeah. On Life Matters, we're talking with Jade Hameister. She's the Young Adventurer of the Year. She'll be given that award tonight. It's the National Geographic Society's award, along with Joshua Gilbert, who's also with us, Young Conservationist of the Year, and some pretty inspirational stories. So, Joshua, you're 25. Where does this spark come from? I mean, do you know how you came to be such a kind of out there go-getting person?
My parents are absolutely, pushing policy issues all the time. My mum's a school teacher and a very awesome school teacher, spends a lot of time really dedicated to her work. And her passion for that social justice within her work, she used to be the head teacher of welfare and looking at those issues. And I think growing up, I knew a lot of stuff and the interactions that she had with kids, and that was really inspiring to me. Mm. And my dad, absolute awesome Indigenous role model for a lot of young people and, great connection to the land and to our farm. And that's what I absolutely love. So having that and being in this kind of incubator of my work with some of the best Indigenous business people in Australia is just really, really makes me passionate and, I'm constantly inspired by them. So
yeah. And you mentioned earlier that you may have political aspirations, and that's such a heartwarming thing for you to say. But how do you view politics? Just broadly, do you see it as a system that connects to your generation?
I think, young people certainly have interest in politics. I think along with every other generation in society, we're always going to have some kind of idea of that political base.
Mm.
And I think we're in a really awesome time now. We've got some great stuff happening from around the world. And also some not so great stuff in some places.
I can't imagine what you're talking about.
it's really inspiring. I mean, if you want to create change and you can, of course, do lobbying and keep putting the pressure on that way. But it's not until you sit in the seat and you have, a whole heap of competing interests and you have to put your foot down and really stand up for what you believe. And I think that's the ultimate goal, to be able to go out there and start having some really progressive policy and pushing for that. I mean, that's really awesome.
And how do you see the role of social media evolving? I mean, we're seeing it already being an element in our political process in the election periods, with the views of young people being voiced mostly there. Do you see that somehow being a part of politics in a more formal way in the future?
Yeah, definitely. I think for a lot of young people, really connecting with the political system is hard. You can then, of course, choose and, align yourself with one of the parties and go through their young groups. Young Libs, Young Labor, Young Greens, and certainly align with that. But I think if you want to experience the political system as a whole, it's really an opportunity to connect with that, and to connect with that every day is on social media.
Mm.
And be able to, hit up your MP and ask them for something is, really... I think, something that we're going to have to get used to. And that's just a really awesome way of having that one-on-one immediate interaction with them.
Mm. I noticed that Al Gore, the former US presidential candidate, has noticed your work. How did that come about, and what was that interaction about?
Yeah, so in the middle of last year, my team at Young Farmers, we created some of the first proactive agricultural climate policy in the world. And that was, blew up in media and social media right around the world and got
so
picked
what
up.
What was that policy like?
Yeah, so the policy moved a position, an original position that said that we needed an investigation and a royal commission into whether climate change was real, into something proactive where the organisation supported its members lobbying government and advocating for renewables and recognising that farmers are on the front line of climate change. Mm. So for that movement, got picked up and, really lucky Al Gore's team reached out and asked if I'd like to film a mini doco with them. So that was awesome. Yeah. Such a great experience.
And can we see that doco?
Yeah, of course. If you Google Australia's Young Green Farmers, it comes up and it's about an 8-minute video. It's, really inspiring for me looking back on that. I get to, it's a, good collection of some of the work I've been doing the last few years, and being up with my dad on the farm, is one of the highlights that's in that video.
Now, as you are talking about going into politics, here's a question without notice, and you don't have to answer it, but wind farms are really controversial at the moment. There's a lot of, people voicing opinions on either side. How do you feel about them, and do you see them as being a major part of the future power generation in this country?
Yeah, I think agriculture is one of those industries that we're always going to have to be connected to. Of course, we always need to eat, and we've got a growing population of 2.3 billion people in the next, by 2050. So we really need to start looking at it really seriously now. And I think having a look at the whole system, not just in Australia, but right around the world, is a really inspiring way of looking at agriculture and how we actually need to change. So I think personally, some of the biggest gains I see is actually teaming up with different countries like Africa and Kenya and working with them. If you can gain and increase their production by 10% using traditional agricultural knowledge that we have in Australia that they don't have access to over there, you're actually affecting their GDP by quite a considerable amount. So some real opportunities over there. And, really looking at our food system, the supply chain, trying to cut down on waste.
Waste, yeah. Yeah. I think David Suzuki is going to enjoy talking to you tonight.
Yeah, I was really lucky. I had the chat to him on Tuesday as well. So, awesome guy and really inspiring.
Yeah. Now, Jade, you're in school still.
Yes,
What are you doing? What subjects? What stage are you at?
I'm in year 9 and I'm just doing the normal subjects, maths, English, science. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what adventures are on the horizon for you?
We're in training now for next year. We're hopefully crossing Greenland in May next year. And then at the end of next year, hopefully skiing all the way to the South Pole.
Gosh, and this will be with your dad again?
Yes, yeah.
And you mentioned earlier that there was a cameraman with you on your North Pole adventure. And just like Josh, I imagine that's online. We can see that too.
It's actually to air globally in December this year, a National Geographic documentary. And then hopefully we will continue our association with Nat Geo for the next 2 trips.
Mm. What do other kids say to you? What's the common comments that you get when they find out what you do?
When I first told my friends sort of what I was doing, I don't think they really had any understanding of where I was going or what it was going to involve. But I think after this first trip, and as I've shown them pictures and told them stories, I've sort of understood a bit more, and they tell me how inspiring I am, which is really nice.
Yeah. Well, you certainly are inspiring.
Thank you.
Thanks both of you for coming in and talking to us today, and congratulations on these awards. It's a real nice recognition at an early part of what seems obvious will be enormous careers. So, yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Jade Hameister is Young Adventurer of the Year, and Joshua Gilbert, Young Conservationist of the Year. They will receive this recognition tonight at the Australian Geographic Society Awards, along with David Suzuki, the campaigner for, well, I guess renewable energy, nature, so many things over the years. It'll be a grand night indeed.